Anyway, I got to stay focused. There's so much going through my head right now. I can go 50 different directions, but I believe this is the one the Lord wants this morning. And you come back tonight, we may do some more about some Jewish history. It depends which way the Lord leads. But this morning, I'm trying to be a blessing here. If you can and able, stand with me to honor God's absolutely perfect Word. It is immutable, cannot change. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's inspired. Hallelujah, it's preserved. You and I this morning hold in our hands the very Word of God. Amen. And we can trust it with our soul forevermore. And we can trust it with the problems of the day. All right, I feel better. We can read it now in Psalm 34. Did we say that yet? Psalm 34. Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and suffer hunger. He that seeks the Lord shall not want any good thing. Let's pray. Father, help us, please. I pray so there be lost among us. I pray for the saved today, encouraged in their faith. Oh, God, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm assuming this is for me. Thank you. He knows I get thirsty when I'm working. So here we are in Psalm 34, and I notice, if you notice in your Bibles, at the top of Psalm 34 in mine, it has, I don't know if you can see it or not, but a couple of sentences right above Psalm 34. Does your Bible have that? That kind of shows you the background of Psalm 34. I'm going to read that real quick. It says, a Psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Does your Bible say that? You know, that's the background of this psalm. And when I was reading through here one of these times, I read that, then I read the psalm, and then I read it again, and read the psalm, and I'm thinking, I don't see that. I mean, if this was the background, I don't see that happening in Psalm 34. So I was looking around, and the background is actually, you don't have to turn there, we're not going there, but it's in first, you can read it if you want to. But in 1 Samuel 21 is this background of this psalm. Well, folks, I started realizing there's some blessings that this psalm teaches us and doesn't say a word about it. So we can learn things that the psalm says, and we can learn from some of the things the psalm left out. For example, David, he has some problems going on in his life, and then you read this psalm. And I thought, boy, that's a blessing to me, because I know sometimes when I'm going through some troubles in my life, I focus on them. You ever do that? And when you focus on them, they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're big! Okay, so I'm the only one who does that, but rather than focusing on the Lord or the blessings thereof, I'm focused on the trouble. And here you read in this psalm, and David had all this trouble going on, but he doesn't focus on that. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I'm thinking, okay, the trouble he was in, this Abimelech that it talks about, that's actually Achish, the king of the Philistines, or of Gath there, of the Philistines. Okay, that's who he's talking about. And see where all this began. I got to give you just a nutshell, the background behind this, so you see what I'm seeing here. And started when King Saul. Anybody ever heard of King Saul? Okay, three of us did. Okay, King Saul. He had sinned and he lost God's power, and it continued to be a problem for Saul when Saul saw the hand of God now on David. Now he wasn't the king yet, but he was King Saul's helper, and the king was jealous of David, and he pulled the old switcheroo on him, and he gave him Michal instead of the other daughter, because he knew Michal would be a snare to him. That's a loving father-in-law right there, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, amen. Well, and then he asked the dowry, hoping that it would get David killed, and God bless, and he brought back twice as many. And then, to the point of such frustration, that King Saul took the spear that was in his hand, and he threw it at David, and David dodged it, and it struck the wall behind him, and he literally left, fleeing for his life. And Jonathan, King Saul's son, and David, they were like best buds, okay? They were really good friends. And David told Jonathan, the king's son, "I'm but a step from death." Okay? David's suffering from emotional hurt. By the way, emotional pain's real, folks. He was feeling rejection from this king that he had done nothing but good to and for. Now he's literally running for his life because the king's jealous in his own right, trying to kill David. Well, David in his haste shows up at the temple, and Ahimelech, not Abimelech. Abimelech is actually the title, like Pharaoh is for Egypt and Caesar is for Rome. Abimelech was for the Philistines, okay? So it's his title. But in any case, he runs to the temple, and Ahimelech, not Abimelech, Ahimelech was the name of the priest there. And David asked him, he said, we had to leave in a hurry, and do you have anything to eat? And he said, okay, here's some showbread. And he says, is there any weapons in the house of God? I like that part, weapons in the house of God. Anyway, he says, he's looking around, saying, over here, look, the only thing we have is whoosh, the sword you killed Goliath with. And David said, oh, there's none like that one. I'll take it. So he straps it on and he leaves. And where David flees to now is to Achish, or Abimelech here, the king of Gath, Philistines. And when he comes, I don't know if he still had the sword on or not. I'm not sure. That would have been real smart to carry the sword in the presence of the enemies of the king here. But nonetheless, Achish's men say, king, look, this is David. This is the king of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Time out. He wasn't the king yet, and there's no way that Achish and his men could have known about the anointing of Samuel to David. Chronologically, it wouldn't fit yet. But what they did know was David's reputation. In fact, maybe you know the song. It kind of goes like this. Saul hath slain his thousands. David hath slain his 10,000. Oh, you've heard the song, okay? Well, apparently they had as well, and they're like, this is David, and here he is, probably having the sword on. He's coming before Achish, and the Bible says in Samuel 21 that David was sore afraid. Now that's past being afraid. Sore afraid is like afraid on steroids. I mean, he's pressed beyond himself. He's pressed out of his mind. He's pressed beyond himself. In fact, the Bible says that he began to feign himself as a madman. He began to act like he was a crazy man. And he'd scrabble at the wall. And he let the spit run out of his mouth and down on his beard. And there whatever how he was doing. He's acting like a crazy man. Wow. Folks, David's hurt. He's feeling rejected. He's running for his life. And where he ran for refuge, boom, blew up in his face. And now he's sore afraid. He's not sure how he's going to get out of this mess. Have you ever been there? You ever been hurt? You ever felt rejected? You ever dealt with fear and being scared? Maybe even your life was in danger. And where you ran blew up in your face, and now you have more trouble? I believe we can learn a lot right here from Brother David. See, we all go through trials. We all go through storms in life. We all have the midnight hours. When it rains, it pours, okay? So I have a couple of questions I'll ask you as we get into this psalm here. The first is this. Do you trust the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Do you trust the Lord with everything. No, wait. Don't raise your hand yet. Don't. Do you trust the Lord with everything, even in the hard times? Well, I like to think so. And this psalm can be divided into two sections. The first 10 verses are a hymn. The last 12 verses is a sermon. And here's something else we can learn. The first 10 verses are a hymn. Did God ever give you a song in the night to help you out when your back's against the wall and going through some things? Folks, you see why it's so important to have good music in your life, good godly music in your life. Preacher this morning's breaking on the hymns, like, amen, preacher, because hymns are good. They're filled with doctrine. People have been there. What they're singing about, they know. And I'm just telling you, it's hard to beat an old hymn. Good to fill your life with good godly music, because there might be a storm you're going through. They've got to give you a song in your heart. Yeah, amen. Well, we're going to take a look at the song this morning rather than the sermon. And the song can actually be broken down into three different divisions. The first division would be this. David vows to bless the Lord at all times. Number one is, David vows to bless the Lord at all times. Back to our text, verse 1. Says, I will bless the Lord at all times. See right there, that's where I got it, right out of the Bible. Okay, let's go on. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Praise at all times. It says at all times He's going to praise continually. He's going to praise even in the hard times, folks. God is good. If you can't think of anything else to thank Him for, you're thanking for your salvation this morning. I mean, there's a whole lot more than that we can thank Him for sure. We can always praise Him for His mercy. Amen. I want you to notice here in verse number 2, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. But you notice verse number 1 said, My mouth shall continually praise the Lord. But in verse 2 it says, my soul. There's a difference there, and there's a difference there on purpose, because my soul, what's he talking about? So here's our soul, okay? My soul makes her boast in the Lord. My soul is bragging on Jesus. Folks, what he's talking about is worship. Last time I was here, I think I preached about worship. Bow, kneel, or prostrate yourself on the ground in adoration of God. Amen. I trust you're doing that. You need to have your quiet time, your devotions, your secret place. But add to that the time of worship. And when David, he was in his worship there in his quiet time with God, and he was praying, and my soul shall make her boast. The Lord, and listen now. So what's he doing? He's worshiping God. Have you ever read the Psalms where he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's worshiping God. And folks, it's from the times where you and I are spending it quiet with our Savior, our devotion time, our time where we're eating with Him and worshiping. It's times like that that helps us praise Him continually within our mouth. Because the Bible says, what's in the heart comes out. And if we're used to worshiping God, then when life happens, it's happening, but because of our worship time, our mouth can continually praise the Lord, because in our private time, we're worshiping our Savior. Amen. I'll encourage you just to keep on worshiping Him, praising God for His greatness, thanking Him for His promises, His works. Amen. It's coming from the heart. So let me help you here real quick. You know, a church service has three parts. The first part, y'all did a good job this morning singing the hymns. You know, the Bible says we sing the Lord. Singing to the Lord. Appreciated that choir special too. Amen. Joy in the morning. Just singing unto the Lord. Well, it is hard to focus during hymn time. I remember when I was a pastor, I'd be up here, my eyeballs be reading the words, my mouth be saying the words. But my mind as a pastor be all over the place. Okay, what's next? Looking at time. Okay, is this person here? And it's had to, on purpose, focus on the hymn. As an evangelist, it's not getting any better. I got to still, on purpose, focus on the hymn. Because whatever else is going on in my mind, whatever else is going on in life, whatever is about to happen in the service, for those 3 or 4 minutes can just wait, because I'm singing to my Lord. And folks, when the whole church gets a hold of that, that song service becomes very vibrant and alive because we as a church are singing unto our God. Amen. The second part's from. We hear from God, from His Word, from His men as it's preached. And then the third part, oh my goodness, I've been in the ministry this length of time, I've seen this, folks. I don't understand it, but so many Christians cut themselves off right at the ankles and missed the blessing God had for them. They're in a church service, they sang to God, they heard from His Word, the Holy Spirit of God took the Word of God and done the work of God for His own glory, and then it comes invitation time, and people don't visit the altar. See, I don't understand that because that's where we worship Him. That's where we bow before Him. That's where we bring our petitions. That's where we pray for one another. That's where praise Him. That's where, folks, don't cut yourself off at the ankles and miss the blessing God has for you. That's how the church service can, where we worship our God. It's where we lay our burdens. You study it in the Scripture, folks. Who's the altar for? It's for the child of God. Do you ever see the heathen coming to the altar in the Scripture? Name one time. Now, here this morning you're lost, there's by all means, you have permission, you come to the up right here, you come to the altar, and you can get saved. Hallelujah! I shout the best of you. But the purpose for the altar is for the child of God. Amen. Just trying to help you here this morning with that. And it's in verse 2. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And I realize you can't put the church in the Old Testament. You can't mix Israel and the church. The two separate peoples. And hallelujah, you can be in the church, a Jew and saved. Okay, I understand that. But what I'm showing here, the humble, you know what the humble is? That's us. See, what are you talking about? Hey, for you and I to be saved, we have the humble ourselves. We didn't go to and say, hey God, I need to be saved here, so you just need to save me. We realize we sinned and offended the thrice holy God and said, God, I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. Please forgive. That's the humble. So here's the humble this morning that's been saved. You had to humble yourself to get saved. So the humble's together this morning. And here it says, and I'll bless the Lord and commune in my mouth and bless the Lord in my soul. What's going on? The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So you come into church service and somebody says, well, the Lord did this. And somebody says, well, amen. And somebody says, when I was going through this and God delivered me here. And somebody says, praise the Lord. And the humble hear thereof and be glad. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. The people ought to come in rejoicing in the house of God, praising Him for who He is. He's the High King of Heaven. He's our Savior. He calls us His friend. Glory, man. We're the friend of God. Oh, that's good right there. Hey, when His name is glorified, and the others in the church, the humble, hear thereof, and they're glad, and they holler amen, and they so be it, and praise the Lord. You know what that's doing? That's magnifying the Lord. Let me explain something to you. I know Pastor, he's been in the ministry a while as well, and I've seen this, he's seen this. We don't know, you don't know, when a visitor comes in, that visitor may have come to church, look at me, to try, because they've tried everything else. And if church doesn't work out for them, they're going to go home and end it all. Now listen to me. So they come in, and they hear somebody testifying about Jesus, and somebody else praising Him, and they get looking at you a little weird, thinking, what are these people? These people plumb lost their mind. But you know what they start my thinking? There must be something to this. These folks act like He's real. And rather than going home and ending it all, they actually go home because they found some hope for the first time in their life. Folks, we don't know. Hey, this is the house of God. This is where He's to be praised. It's where He's to be worshipped. Amen. It's where we're to come in and get fired up for Him. It's where we're to come in and learn of Him. I'm saying, hey, bless the Lord. At all times, continually with your mouth. And David, He vows to bless the Lord at all times, and then he encourages others to join him, and then he lists some reasons for us to do so. So that brings us number two. David relates his experience to us in verse 4. He said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of half his troubles. Does it say half? No, it says all his troubles. Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Well, glory to his name. So here's David. He's relating some of his experience here. And in verse number 4, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And I'm looking here. Okay, he sought the Lord. What's he doing? He's praying. Because it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He's praying, right? Okay? I can't find his prayer. That's something else this psalm has left out. So I went back over here for 1 Samuel 21, and I read through there. Nope, didn't find it there. I just find he spit all over his face and he's graveling at the wall like a crazy man. His prayer's not there either. But I know he prayed because it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. So he not only prayed, God heard him. And then I got thinking, you know, here's something else this psalm has left out that we can learn from. It didn't put David's prayer in here, I believe, by divine purpose, so that you and I wouldn't be tempted to think that we have to pray for prayer a certain way, because there's no magic in the words of the prayer, folks. It's the faith that makes the difference. And you know what his prayer might have been? While he's going through that, it doesn't say, I don't know, you don't know, it's not recorded for us. It left it out. But his prayer might have been, help! You know, that works. It really does. You know, his prayer might have been, you don't know, I don't know, it might have been, Lord! You know, that works too. You ever had your back against the wall and didn't know how to pray? Didn't know what to say? Didn't even know how to do it. Come on, let's be real here. I've been there. Did you know that you and I have a promise? That over in Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Watch this. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Yep, I've been there. And the verse goes on to say, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah, folks. When I've gone the wrong place, when things have blown up my face, I've looked in the wrong place, maybe should have or shouldn't have, whatever, it didn't matter. But folks, my back's against the wall. I don't even know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I just call out, Lord, I need your mercy. That's about all it takes, folks, because the Holy Ghost of God promised he'd get involved. He'll take that prayer before the Father and he'll say it with the right words, with all the right grammar, and say the right things you need to say. Glory to God, we have the Spirit of God this morning to help us pray in time of need. Well, glory to his name. Amen. That's what David was experiencing right there. You know, nobody goes to God since they looked at them and were lightened. Oh, folks, you're never going to come up empty-handed when you take your burdens to Jesus. Every time, you'll never be ashamed. And I like this part right here, picture verse 6. You see, it says, this poor man cried. Church, who's this poor man? Who is it? It's David. You know what he's saying? Lord, I haven't done anything that would merit you even listening to me. Lord, I can't strong-arm you into doing anything. I'm just a poor man. I don't have anything to even offer you. I don't have anything I can bring in exchange. I'm nothing but what I need. Oh God, I need your mercy. Oh folks, isn't that a blessing? I like that part of the prayer. Man, it's good. Because this poor man, oh, I haven't done anything in my life worth anything. On my best day, I'm filthy rags. That's what my righteousness is. I haven't done anything that would cause God to listen to me. I haven't done any kind of heroic feat, nor could anyone, that would cause God to be strong-armed into answering a particular prayer. He says we can come boldly before His throne to find grace to help in time of need. And folks, that's not kicking the door in and telling God, here I am, here's my need, now hop to it. Who do you think you are? The fact of the matter is, we're there by invitation. We're there by the merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that we can even approach His throne, that's boldness all by itself. And to find that grace to help in time of need, let us, this poor man, cry. Oh, Lord, I sought the Lord. I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me. And He delivered me. That's what it said, didn't it? Now, it didn't say all the hows and the details from over here in Samuel 21, but he was against the wall, folks. That king could have had him killed just like that. Well, He delivered him. Yeah, that's my God. And see, when we exalt Him like that, and I heard some folks saying amen right there, you know what's happening? The humble heard thereof. We heard about majesty. We heard about the sweet Spirit of God being our comforter. We heard about the mercy of God and the fact He's invited us to His throne. Well, that's Him. You know what it is? The humble heard the glad. See, it was working. It's just like the Scripture said. It is real. Amen. God is real. He's certainly not dead. He's very much alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hallelujah. Folks, our God's big. You can't even squeeze Him into 24 hours. The Bible says that He inhabiteth all of eternity. That means He's still back over here where He said, let there be light. He's still there right now. He's already on the other side, about to step off into eternity future. He's already there right now, waiting on you and I to catch up. And the Bible says that He's a very present help in time of need. That's right here, right now, today. Glory to His name. Amen. That's my Savior I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, taste and see that the Lord's good. In fact, that brings us to our next point already. Oh, amen. So David, he vows that he's going to bless the Lord at all times with his mouth, you know. And then he gave us a testimony how it worked out for him. Well, no wonder he said, number three here, no wonder he said, David exhorts others to remain solid in their faith. You know, sometimes when we go through trials, they shake our faith, don't they? This is yes. Yes, they do. But he's encouraging us to remain solid in our faith. Let's look right here in our text, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there's no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Yeah, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what a taste is? A taste is like a sample. But that sample is a personal experience. In other words, you see for yourself. Y'all down here, you have a Walmart or a Sam's. I know you have a Sam's. You helped me out that one year with the tires. Thank you. We've used those tires for the Lord. Burning that rubber off all over the country. Well, that's not true. Only 25 states so far, so I don't know what's in the other half of the country, but we've been in 25 of them, amen. But anyway, I want to say thank you. But here's the point. Walmart or Sam's, you go in there about lunchtime, what are you going to find? Somebody going to be loud, and they're going to have these samples. And they're going to say, want one? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I eat one. Man, that's good. If you're from Indiana, you say it like this. Doggies. You know, all the way y'all say down here. But it's a, and then I say, can I have another one? I say, sure. You know why? They want me to buy the whole thing. So you go around the aisle. Another person. You want one? Sure. So you have some on this aisle. You go back to this aisle and say, you know, can I get one of those for my wife? Not sure she'd ever get it. But I'm asking, you know. Not that I've done that. Some people spend lunchtime at Walmart eating samples. But I'm telling you, see, folks, they want you to sample it to see how good it is, so you buy the whole thing. It kind of reminds me of my wife. She has some, whoo, buddy, killer chocolate chip cookies. I mean, you pull those things out of the oven, you take that spatula up under it, you pull it out of there, and it kind of droops down like this. About a half a dozen of those, tall glass of milk, and you are in some high cotton right there, sister, I'm telling you. And you put that in your mouth, and that chocolate morsel just kind of melts down over your tongue. You're like, this is good. But you don't know that. All you have is my testimony. Because you've never had one of my wife's chocolate chip cookies. But I'm telling you, it's good. I've had it. But see, that taste was a personal experience. So I get one of those little Tupperware doo-wobby things, you know, with the lid thing on it, you know. Put them cookies in and I go, hey, you want one? Do you want one? Everybody's like, well, yeah. Why? Because my testimony, these are good. But see, until you taste it, you don't know it personally. All you have is a testimony. So here's David. He's hurt. He's running scared. He's running for his life. Where he ran blew up in his face. Now he's sore afraid. And what'd he do? He called on God. And God heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. And now David's saying, oh, God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he gives a twofold invitation right here. He's saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, he's inviting the Christian who's going through some storms of life, you know, the midnight hours, the valleys, the winds are howling hard. You think, where's God in the storm? David said, hey! Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because sometimes we Christians, we kind of mess up, and we, when we're in trouble, sometimes we run over here to this thing, or that thing, or something else, and we're trying to find our help, and that's the wrong place to be running. See, we need to go to the Lord, because He's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord's good. And the preacher's going through some storms of life. And you've called out to dear sweet Jesus. And He's heard your prayer. And He's delivered you. You too can stand and say, yes, sir, Brother Danford, I agree with you. God is good. Because you tasted for yourself. It's a personal experience. The other side of this invitation is for the lost. See, it'd be a horrible thing to come to a church like this, man, and God preaches the Bible, He's solid on His doctrine, I mean, doing a good job for the Lord, and you wind up dying, going to hell. So how could that happen? Here's how it could happen. You heard the saints in here, the humble thereof, they heard, they were shouting, they gave the testimony. Oh, the Lord's good. And you might even grew up in this atmosphere and die and go to hell. You never tasted personally. To see how our soul tastes is by faith. Faith is how the soul tastes. So here the people stand and say, Jesus is a wonderful Savior. And He is, brother. But if they've never tasted for themselves, if He's never been a personal Savior to them, if they've never called on Jesus themselves to save them, morning you're lost. All you have is the testimony of knowing that He's good. Oh, and He is. But you don't know it personally till you repent of your sin and call on Him yourself to ask Him to save you. Then you can say with us by testimony, by experience, oh, take see that the Lord is good. Y'all with me here? So if you're here this morning, you've been saved, I encourage you this morning, oh, and taste and see how wonderful of a Savior Jesus is. If you're here this morning as a Christian, and you're going through some stuff, whatever that stuff is, I want to remind you, oh, taste and see just how good He is. Amen? So that's what Brother David here want to encourage us this morning, reminding us how good He is. If you haven't ever tried it for yourself, more than having a sample at Walmart or one of my wife's delicious chocolate chip cookies, this is more important than that. You need to come call on Jesus yourself this morning. It's all